Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Midweek Services. Ever since I've known Lee, this is 11 years, I think, this is the 12th time I think we've done Midweek Lenten services. But something that's always bothered her, you know, since she's leaving, I'll tell you. It's all this talk. Isn't it time that we spend a little time in prayer to prepare our lives and our hearts for worship? Not our congregation, is it, Lee? The fellowship is wonderful, but
it would be nice to have a little time for meditation.
Yes, because all the organists and piano players practice the prelude, you know, and try and get things in a mood to settle down and say our prayer. It doesn't happen at Bethesda Lutheran Church in Maryland. I tell her it's because we have such a small narthex. Usually if we had a bigger narthex, we could stand outside and visit and then quietly come into worship and prepare ourselves. So if it ever happens that we knock out this wall and build a sanctuary, we'll have a nice big entryway to visit. But then when you enter into the sanctuary, the holy place, we can maybe do so with a clean heart, huh? Sound okay? Anything happening? Any announcements? Nice to see some snowbirds back. And you got a front row seat, all right, cutie. Nice to have you here. Do you have an announcement? Who is Nicole? Your older sister. On Monday. So you remind me on Sunday and we'll sing happy birthday to her, okay? All right. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. And we thank you for the forgiveness that has been given to us through your Son, through his death and through his resurrection. And as we gather each on our spiritual journeys, we know you have touched us in a different and a variety of ways. But tonight we pray that we might come together to sing your praises and that our hearts might be open to your Spirit. So send your Spirit to us, Lord, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Jesus Christ, you are the light of the world.
May our prayers come before you, O God, as incense, and may your presence surround and fill us, so that in union with all creation, we might sing your praise and your love in our lives.
Amen. Please turn in your hymnals to Psalm 148. And for those of you who haven't worshipped with us, there's no page numbers there, so you just got to figure out the psalms on your own. Psalm 148. Please read the indented part. I will read the first part of the verse, and you read the indented part. A Psalm of Praise, 148. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord from the heavens.
Praise God in the highest.
Praise the Lord, all you angels.
Sing praise, all you hosts of heaven.
Praise the Lord, sun and moon. Praise the Lord, heaven of heavens.
And you are the Lord of heavens.
Let them praise the name of the Lord,
who
made them stand fast forever and ever. Praise the Lord from the earth.
You see monsters
fire and hail, snow and fog. Mountains and all hills. Wild beasts and all cattle,
green things and flying birds,
sovereigns of the earth and all peoples,
princes and all rulers of the world,
young men and maidens,
old and young together,
let them praise the name of the Lord,
whose name only is exalted, whose splendor is over the heaven.
The Lord has raised up strength for the people and praise for all faithful servants. Hallelujah. A story by Philip Yancey. It is entitled A Crumpled Photograph. One holiday I was visiting my mother, who lives 700 miles away. We reminisced about times long past, as mothers and sons tend to do. Inevitably, the large box of old photos came down from the closet shelf, spilling out a jumbled pile of thin rectangles that mark my progression through childhood and adolescence. The cowboy and Indian get-ups, the Peter Cottontail suit in the first grade play, my childhood pets, endless piano recitals, the graduations from grade school and high school and finally college. Among these photos, I found one of an infant with my name written on the back. The portrait itself was not unusual. I looked like any baby, fat-cheeked, half-bald, the wild, unfocused look to my eyes. But the photo was crumpled and mangled as if one of those childhood pets had got hold of it. I asked my mother why she had hung on to such an abused photo when she had so many other undamaged ones. There's something you should know about my family. When I was 10 months old, my father contracted spinal lumbar polio. He died 3 months later, just after my first birthday. My father was totally paralyzed at age 24, his muscles so weakened that he had to live inside a large steel cylinder that did his breathing for him. He had few visitors. People had as much hysteria about polio in 1950 as they do about AIDS today. The one visitor who came faithfully, my mother, would sit in a certain place so that he could see her in a mirror bolted to the side of the iron lung. My mother explained to me that she kept the photo as a memento because during my father's illness, it had been fastened to his iron lung. He had asked for pictures of her and of his two sons, and my mother had had to jam the pictures in between some metal knobs. Thus the crumpled condition of my baby photo. I rarely saw my father after he entered the hospital, since children were not allowed in polio wards. Besides, I was so young that even if I had been allowed in, I would not now retain those memories. When my mother told me the story of the crumpled photo, I had a strange and powerful reaction. It seemed odd to imagine someone caring about me whom, in a sense, I had never met. During the last months of his life, my father had spent his waking hours staring at those three images of his family, my family. There was nothing else in his field of view. What did he do all day? Did he pray for us? Yes, surely. Did he love us? Yes. But how can a paralyzed person express his love, especially when his own children are banned from the room? I've often thought of that crumpled photo, for it is one of the few links connecting me to the stranger who was my father, a stranger who died a decade younger than I am now, someone I have no memory of, no sensory knowledge of, spent all day, every day, thinking of me, devoting himself to me, loving me as well as he could. Perhaps in some mysterious way he's doing so now in another dimension. Perhaps I will have time, much time, to renew a relationship that was cruelly ended, just as it had begun. I mention this story because the emotions I felt when my mother showed me the crumpled photo were the very same emotions I felt that February night in a college dorm room when I first believed in a God of love. Someone is there, I realized. Someone is watching life as it unfolds on this planet. More, someone is there who loves me. It was a startling feeling of wild hope, a feeling so new and overwhelming that it seemed fully worth risking my life on. Here ends the lesson.
The service continues on page 8. The light shines in the darkness.
Thank you.
The congregation, please rise. Great and merciful God, source and ground of all goodness and life, give to your people the peace that passes all understanding, and the will to live your gospel of mercy and justice through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
God, remember us in your love and teach us to pray.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Let us bless our God. Praise and thanks to
God, Creator, bless us and keep us. May Christ be ever light for our lives.
May the Spirit of love be our guide and path for all of our days. Amen.
Go in peace.